Can we kneel in prayer? Oh, righteous God, we come before you this morning with grateful and thankful hearts that we have another opportunity to gather here together in a way to worship and praise you and to bring honor and bring glory to you. So I just pray, Lord, that you would just be in the midst of us. I pray, Lord, that we can open our hearts to you, Lord, and we can receive that word. We know the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And I pray, Lord, as we receive that word, that we're not just like James says, that we're just hearers, but we're doers. So I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be in the midst here today and work in our hearts. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning. What a blessing. I had to shed a few tears this morning already as I was sitting here and meditating of the past. I seen Brother Dan Mast here. We don't know each well that well, but it brought memories back to 2000, year 2000. As I was searching and trying to seek the Lord, and I was trying I felt this void, and I was asking questions, and what is grace, and I didn't understand what grace was, and those of you who grew up in the old Amish setting probably heard of Dan Mast, the writing of Dan Mast, and he wrote a bunch of scriptures, and I believe he ended up out in Illinois. But he wrote a lot of messages, and there was this one message, and the book is called Salvation Full and Free, and the title was Saved by Grace. So one Friday night, I was reading that, and it was like scales falling off my eyes, and I truly seen it was not of myself, but it is by the grace of God that I can be saved. And that I can be perfect before him. And that is where my journey began. And that is for all of us here. That grace of God can work in us. And I appreciate it. The opening, Brother David. I remember other times before you were converted. And it just blesses me as I look over the crowd here, Simon, Sills, all those who I've known and the work the Lord is doing in your life. Praise God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let's keep on keeping on. But for my message here today, I'd like to talk about true worship. What is worship and how do we worship God? It is very important that I think it's very important that we understand what true worship is. And I think if we would go and we would go to different places and to our neighbors and as we see people and we would ask them, what is your thought on true worship? What is your thoughts on that? We would get a lot of different answers. But we have the Word of God that tells us and gives us direction to what really true worship is. The definition for worship is to honor or to show reverence for a divine being or supernatural power. That is true worship. To honor and to show reverence for a divine being or supernatural power. Are we here today to worship and to praise God? Or why are we here today? What is the reason for us to be here? Are we here today to sit in His presence, to sit in God's presence, and to see what He has for us? Are we here today to celebrate for what He has done for me? It brought a lot of memories back. And I think back on what the Lord has done for me. We heard sometimes we have to go through hard times and struggles. I remember a couple years ago, I had a message on trials and tribulations and letting things, as things come in your life, how do I respond to it? And about a week later, I think it was that very next weekend, we were at prison and we were having service at a prison. I preached the same message. And then in my closing prayer, I prayed, oh God, just whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me, I pray, Lord, that I'll just open my heart and you just bring whatever you want to cleanse me, to purify me, to draw me closer to you. And oh, Lord, I just prayed that prayer, and let me tell you, it was a couple weeks later. It was very hard times come to where the point I thought I was going to shut the door of my business. And we struggled, and I look back and I can truly thank the Lord for what he has done. And so are we, and if we think of that and what the Lord has done in our lives, true worship, are we feeling the very presence of him today? As we are sitting here today, are we truly feeling God's very presence with us? I hope we're here today with a sincere heart. I hope we're here today with an honest heart. And I hope we're here today with a loyal heart. I hope we're here today with a fully committed heart. And I hope we're here today with a heart with reverence towards God. Today in 2021, it is very important that we hang on to the fundamental truth of biblical worship. We need to hang on to that fundamental truth of biblical worship. You know, too often churches view true worship as a retail store. They're always shopping. They're always looking for more. There's never fulfillment there, and I'll get to more of that maybe later on. You know, in today's setting, there are so many people in churches that are looking for an experience. You know, I think there's a lot of people who don't want to think anymore. They just want to feel. They want to have that encounter with God. And they don't want to think, but they want that feeling with God. And they don't want, and it's that feeling. And I'd like to talk a little bit then on some of the different worship, what it involves to worship. But let's turn to John chapter 4. And I'd like to read a portion of this scripture here. And I think we're very familiar with this scripture. But John chapter 4, starting verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then says the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here's this woman, and I don't think she could grasp all this. I don't think she understood all this. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou living water? Really, how are you going to get it? It's a deep well, was the question the woman had to Jesus. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us a well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. And Jesus answered unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus says unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know that what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Then in verse 24 it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus answered unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And unto this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or what talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the man. So here the woman was, and she left her water pot, and she had something to say. She went back into the city, and she really had something to say. And I'm wondering, could we do this? Could we truly, sincerely from our heart, do what this woman just got done doing? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see this man. This man that told me whatever I ever did. He knew all I did. And when they went out of the city and came unto him. We could go on. I'm going to stop there. True worship. For true worship, we have to worship in spirit and in truth. To worship demands a life that is totally surrendered to God. To have a true worship, we need to surrender our whole life to God. True worship is when we love and cherish every part of God with every part of ourselves. See, so many times we want to hang on to these things, and it is a hindrance to us when we come to worship. True worship is when we are totally His. And I'd like to talk on different ones, what worship really involves. The right music. A believing heart, a thankful spirit, an obedient life, a heart without offense against another, lying down our deepest desires at his feet, realizing we belong to another, being filled with the one whom we worship, a heart that has been circumcised. You know, if we think about music, the right music, I really don't know hardly anything about music. And a lot of the brothers could tell you that's true. But I believe if I worship God in the spirit and truth, He will give me clear direction and He will give me clear guidance on the music I should be listening to. You know, we can worship without instruments, but we cannot worship without the Word of God. How important is right music? In order to worship God in spirit and truth, the music we listen to must be in His order. In Psalms 96, it says, in verse 9, it says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." It says, in the beauty of holiness. If our music is worldly and is mixed with Satan's lyrics and the worldly beats of the world, we cannot possibly worship in beauty of holiness. You know, the music needs to be more than just a noise. We could go to Exodus in chapter 32 where Moses heard this noise. Or was it Joshua who heard this noise? And here it was the people that were making the golden calf. It was a noise. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about music. I think so often music is about our feelings. I think we could probably get Brother Rupin and Josh up here and maybe a few other, and we could get something going here. We could get you to clap and we could pound things up. And it would be a good feeling. But true music, true worship through music. In fact, I watched a clip on music. It was actually a guy went and made a medley out of 21 different songs in 7.5 minutes. It was like 1,500 years ago, from year 560 to 2017. And I sat and listened to that, and it was all familiar songs, all songs every one of us probably in here would have known. And I was so blessed when he started out with these songs. And it was so encouraging. I believe it was worship. It was true worship. And then every song he would have the year the song was wrote and when the song was sang. And then all at once, in about the early 1900s, I noticed a difference. I don't have an ear for music, but I noticed a difference. And about 1937, the song in the medley was different. There was a beat to it. There was something to it. And it kept going until 2017. I was like, wow, what a difference. I wasn't sure if I want to share this. But I know a lot of conservative, fairly very conservative Anabaptist people that are into contemporary music. And I've heard some of that contemporary music, and it burdens my heart. I got delivered out of that beat. I got delivered out of them lyrics. I remember back when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. And the things, the music we listened to, and the things that music made us do. And the later it got, the louder it got. And I am convinced in my mind, we could take some of this so-called Christian music and it would have done the same thing. We weren't interested in the words. But it was that feeling. So true worship means listening to the right music. It isn't just about feeling that, just feeling it. But it is about the heart and the beauty of holiness. As we worship and reverence the Lord. I'd like to talk about the next one, a believing heart. All true worshipers come from a heart of belief. The very first duty of a man is to believe. And I'm going to turn to John chapter 6. Get a few verses there. In John chapter 6, and start in verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That is the question. What shall we do that we do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. And we could keep on going reading more scripture there. But it is that believing heart is what brings that true worship. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him. To not believe in God is to disagree, and it grieves his spirit. It grieves his spirit. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? When God speaks to us, he expects us to agree with him. So many times there's things we want to just resist. And if the Lord is speaking to our hearts, let's not resist it. Let's agree with God. A thankful spirit is another way for true worship. Thankfulness is an attitude of the heart that overcomes all bitterness and criticism. I put in that word all. It's a three-letter word, A-L-L. And as I read through Scripture, I see a lot of alls, A-L-L. That means all of it. And if we think of a thankful spirit and an attitude or thankfulness and attitude of our heart, we need to come over all the bitterness and criticism. If we don't, it's going to take us down the wrong direction. We cannot worship God in spirit and in truth if there is any ungratefulness in our hearts. Have we ever tried that? Where we could truly be worshiping God with an ungrateful heart. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18, for the wrath of God reveals from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world was clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they know God, they glorify him, not as God, neither were thankful, but because vain is their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing them to be wise, they become fools, unthankful, ungrateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for it is his will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thankfulness keeps our spirit free. I have a neighbor, Nate Shetler. Some of you, probably quite a few of you, know him. And if you would work for him, you would find out he's very thankful. He's thankful in everything that happens. In fact, Sil's father-in-law works for him. And I believe it was him. They were working. And we all know how it is when we have a hammer and we miss that nail and we hit our finger. And you know, one of the first things Nate's probably going to ask you, did you thank the Lord for that? Did you thank the Lord for that? And he truly would. Thankfulness keeps our spirit free. True worship, an obedient life. Obedience keeps us in the favor of God. It opens the door to pure worship. We have decisions to make every day. As we go through life, we're faced with two choices. Are we going to do it God's way? Or are we going to do it our way? An obedient life, we need to open that door to obedience. We have a choice to make if we want to worship God in a true way. And we need to live in that obedient life. A heart without offense against another. To have true worship. Before we can come to the altar of God, there's something required of us. And that is that we make things right with others if there's anything that we have offended or we know that they are offended. To be a worshiper of a perfect God, we must become perfect. Are we perfect? Are we perfect? Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be therefore perfect. This is the word of God. This is Jesus' words. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. In order to be a truly worship, we have to be perfect in our attitudes and our love towards one another, towards our brethren. And I believe it is very important as you get together here tonight and have communion that we check our attitude towards our brethren. We cannot worship God in spirit and truth with evil feelings in our heart. Are we perfect? And if we pick up offenses, it's going to take us into a downward spiral. It's going to take us the direction we don't want to go. We're going to come to the point where we can't worship. And we need to repent of it and be free of it. Bitterness, unforgiveness. We need to lay it down to truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have offenses in our life or pick up offenses. Laying down our deepest desires at His feet. That's another way to truly worship Him. To lay down our deepest desires. And if we think of that, I have to think of Abraham. laying down our deepest desires at His feet, worshiping gives herself wholeheartedly to another. That is true worship, giving herself wholeheartedly to another. Thank you. Let's think about Abraham. One day, God comes to him, and He says, Abraham, go sacrifice your oldest son. You take him up on the mountain here, and you offer him up to me. Abraham understood true worship. Abraham understood what it takes. Abraham was willing to go all the way. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son. He was willing to lay down his deepest desires, his son. If we turn to Genesis chapter 22, I want to get one verse there. And it says, and Abraham said unto his young man, now as they journeyed here, they took their donkeys and they were going. They were heading for the mountain. And now they get to the mountain, and this is what Abraham says. And Abraham said to this young man, abide ye here with the donkeys, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship again to you. They said, we're going to go. I'm going to take my son, and I'm going to go up on this mountain, and I'm going to worship, and we will come back again. He was willing to sacrifice everything. He was willing to lay down everything and to worship God. We have to lay down everything, our passion, our desires, to have free, to be worshiping truly and in spirit and in truth, to be free in worship. Are we willing to go all the way? You know, it is so easy for us to sit here, or it is so easy for me to stand here and to tell you, I'm willing. I really am willing to go all the way. And I have to think of Ezekiel, where it talks about deeper waters. I forget which chapter that is. 40, maybe 43, I forget. But it talks about deeper waters. My mind always goes to, it talks about walking in the waters up to the ankles. And how easy if we're in the waters up to the ankles just to turn around. Little things come up and we turn around and we walk right back out. And then it talks about waters being up to the knees. You know, we can walk into the waters up to the knees, but it's fairly easy to turn around and go the other way. And then it talks about waters being up to the loins, up here to our waist. But we can still turn around very fairly easy. And then it talks about waters. I forget how it is worded, but it's about going all the way. Are we willing to go all the way? To surrender our music. Have a believing heart. Having a thankful spirit. Have an obedient life. All the way. A heart without offense against another. Are we willing to lay that down? Laying down our deepest desires. One more. A realization that we are not our own. We really are not our own. We are created by Him, for Him, to bring Him pleasure. We are created by Him, for Him, Revelation chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. It is for His pleasure. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. Psalms 103 says, "Know ye not that the Lord, He is God, is He that has made us." God made us. And not ourselves. We are His people and His sheep of His pasture. We're bought with a price. And that's where my mind went to this morning as we were sitting here worshiping in song. Jesus paid the price for me. He paid the price for you. Are we willing to go all the way? It was a struggle for me to go all the way. Fear of man. Lots of things. After I got converted. It was a price, but I knew Jesus paid the price for me. True worship. And that is desire in my heart to keep on that true worship. And the Word of God teaches us and shows us what truly true worship is. And it is so important as we're going through life that we look at the Word of God. This is where the whole law hangs on. And that we look at the Word of God and we truly are committed to the Word of God and doing the Word of God and living the Word of God and talking the Word of God and walking the Word of God. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, you know, it is so easy. I guess I wasn't aware until I started doing some research on music. How easy it would be for me to just tap into some of that music and no one would ever know. But oh, what it would do to my soul. It is so easy to do different things on our own. But let's never forget, God sees everything we do. God knows if we're here today with a heart that is willing to sacrifice everything, with a heart that is willing to commit to Him everything and live according to His way and His will. Are we willing to make that commitment if we haven't? It blesses my heart when I see these young people, youth, making this commitment at a young age and dedicating their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding what true worship is in spirit and in truth. I didn't have that teaching when I was growing up. I had a good home life, but it wasn't very spiritual. I didn't understand what truly worship is. I didn't understand until after I was converted, and I have an ugly past. But God forgave me. And I'm saying this, that we don't need an ugly past like that. We're all sinners. We've all been sinners. The Word of God tells us we've all come short of the glory of God. And we need to repent. And I was listening to a young girl sharing her testimony. She was probably about 15 years old. And then she says she shared her testimony, how she's seen her sinful life. And then afterwards, and she didn't have a ugly life like I did, but she still was a sinful. She remembers a time she said a lie. She remembered a time she was a little disobedient to her parents. And she was sharing her testimony. And she was saying how one night it becomes so real she's lost. And she got up out of bed and shared it with her mom and dad. And how she confessed Jesus Christ and how it changed everything in her life. And after she was done, she said, "I hope that is good enough." If we confess our sins before the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender our all, that is good enough. And then our walk begins, and we need to worship in spirit and truth. And see, there's times in our life that seems we just can't really worship the way we should be worshiping. And then we need to see what's wrong. We know it's not failing on God's end, but it's failing on our end. Something is in our life we're not willing to surrender, or something is in our life that is hindering us from having that true worship. My prayer here this morning is that we can experience what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. I'm going to leave it at that, and I want to bless you here at Bethlehem. It blessed my heart this morning, seeing Simon and Sil, David. I remember times we'd get together and we'd have worship service, and I see your life. I see you're growing in the Lord, and that blesses me. So let's keep on pressing towards that mark of the price of the high calling, Christ Jesus. So we don't want to rush off here, but we probably have to. We're, Lord willing, we're heading to Faith for Fellowship meal right here after this. So, Lord's blessing.